Trinity, we're glad to have you here with us, and we'd like to have you be aware there's a couple of cards in front of you, and one of them is a prayer request card, and that's for visitors or our guests, and also for our members. So if you have a prayer request, please fill that out. We'll be gathering those right after these three scripture lessons are read. Then the other card is just to let us know that you're here, and please, we ask everybody to fill that out. And we're promising there will be a drawing. There will be. It's only been 2 years. Don't give up. So we would like to have you be aware of that. But at this time, please stand and greet one another and welcome each other in the name of the Lord. And we do want to let you know that as we make our beginning this day, please grab your place where you're at and remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Heavenly King, Almighty God, Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty and ever-living God, as your only begotten Son was this day presented in the temple, in the substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
One of the blessings we have as a Lutheran church is that we plan for a three-year period all the important scripture lessons we can be assured in that three-year period we've covered every important teaching of scripture. And today, if you are a numerologist, you might be interested in that the gospel lesson today is from the second chapter of Luke, and the 22nd begins at the 22nd verse. Today is the second month of the year, and the second day of the year, and we're in the second decade of the church year, of the year, and the second millennium also. So there must be some meaning to that. More important, certainly, is that on this day, we emphasize the presentation of our Lord. That is, the remembering when Mary brought baby Jesus to the temple and dedicated him to the Lord, as in the Old Testament, that was important teaching of the Lord. And we begin with the Old Testament, however, which is from 1 Samuel, and is the story of a child being brought to the temple for his presentation. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning verse 21, the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him." so that he may appear to the in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, and I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he has lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord. And the epistle is from Hebrews, the second chapter. And points out how Jesus came in real flesh and blood for our salvation. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered and when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel for this Sunday is written in the book of St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is the account of Christ being brought to the temple for his purification to fulfill the law of Moses. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the law and the custom, he took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child has been appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years, from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to whom or to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And they were performed, and when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. My granddaughter just waved at me. I couldn't help myself. God's peace be to each of you. It's good to be back home with our church family here at Trinity after the passing of Desiree's father. We are reminded of our relationship with you, the one that we have, how you've reached out to us in cards and letters and comments, and both before we left and after we've returned home. And simply, I'd like to say thank you. But all of this reminds me of what God wants to have with each and every one of us. He wants to have with us a relationship. My last message before we left, I outlined the relationship God had with Adam and Eve, how he had created the heavens and the earth and all that was within them. And he said, go forth, be fruitful, multiply. And as you can think about it, as so many young boys would graduate and think that they're going to get from their parents maybe the gift of a car or of a daughter, a special gift at the time of graduation. At the time of the creation of the world, at that seventh day, God created the heavens and the earth. He looked at Adam and Eve, who had created in his image, and he said, it's good. It's very good. And then he said, here's the keys to it all. It's yours. Go forth. Be fruitful and multiply. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over it. God would provide for Adam and Eve his love, his protection, even after they disobeyed him. He spared them from a plan that would have otherwise separated them. He saved them from their sin and eternal separation from God. He would send his own son who would come, who would rescue, who would redeem and restore them all of humanity, into a right relationship with God. And when we start to look at it, the price was extremely high. The death of God's own son. But that shows us the depth and the desire of God to have a relationship with each and every one of you. If he would go to that measure, so that we would be spared. Now, already in our Bible readings in Immerse, we see that God wants a relationship with us. It will give us an identity, a purpose, and a plan for our life. One in which God himself will protect us as well. In return, God wants us to worship him, to trust him, and to obey him, but especially to have faith in him. God is involved. He's invested and is immensely immersed in our lives. I want to share with you briefly the story of what we went through to illustrate that. As you know, Desiree's father passed away, but prior to that, he had come from Nashville, Tennessee, where he had seen his one daughter. They were bringing him down to visit us for about 6 to 8 weeks. And at that time, we were looking forward for him to be here. And he came with both of his daughters and grandchildren to celebrate and to worship with us and to be together with Trinity's family, whom he loved. And as a result, when he worshiped the next day, he wasn't feeling well. In fact, he went to the hospital. And a week later, he had passed. But you know who was with him? His entire family. You know where he lived in Lovell, Wyoming? You know who had been with him? Perhaps no one. No one to offer help or comfort. No one to call an ambulance. No one to ask to bring on an ambulance over, to send a doctor over to have some help. It could have been far different. But God wrote a different script. He had brought Dad here to Orlando, and there in Orlando in the hospital, he was surrounded by his two daughters and their two husbands and each of his grandchildren, with the exception of one, out of all of them, and his two grandchildren, great-grandchildren. When we look at all of it, we see the hand and the mercy of God, who planned it all, who had us all together, who allowed us that time of being together to celebrate his life and to be with him at such an important time in his life. When I see the relationship of God that he had with individuals in the Old Testament and in the New, I'm reminded of that relationship he certainly had with us. And I hope that you can look at your life and see how God's been intimately involved with you. And when we read that, we see that he is individually involved, that he would take time to be specially point out certain people who would work, he would work in their lives and then in the lives of their family. And they would then worship him and be in a relationship with him, but it was so they could witness to the world beyond their family. The relationship would expand and then spread. In the Old Testament, we see that it went from Adam and Eve and from Abraham all the way out to his children and their children, and then out to those who were neighboring around them in the entire world. God was witnessing through individuals, through families, and through nations to the world that he was Lord. He would show and demonstrate his glory and his might and his splendor. God would create Adam and Eve, who told, go and subdue the earth. He would then take Noah and his family, and he would have them to start over after the flood. And then Abraham would again be declared righteous by God simply because he believed and trusted in God and the promise God had made to him. Remember, at 75 years old, this man did not have a child with his son, with his wife. And yet he was told that you will have as many children as the seas sand, has sands, and the sand of the earth, and the stars in the sky. So shall your descendants be. And in all of your children, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants, Abraham. At 75, he got that promise. Waited and waited, and at 90, God talked to him again. He still didn't have that promise. But Abraham believed God would deliver. God finally, at the age of 100 years old, we are told, gave Abraham and Sarah a son, whom they would name Isaac. And this son, Isaac, was later called upon by Abraham, as you recall in the stories, that he would be sacrificed by Abraham. Because Abraham believed and trusted God, if he could give him a life to an old man like this, that he could certainly raise his son from death off an altar of sacrifice. You see, Abraham was chosen by God, that it would be through his sons, Jacob and Esau, who would have other children. And Jacob would have 12 sons, and his great children and grandchildren would be receiving the promises of God. And they would multiply and begin to bear witness to God in the chosen part of the world they lived. Especially Joseph, who though he was sold into slavery because of, if you will, jealousy from his brothers, God wasn't going to end the story there, but rather chose Joseph, and Pharaoh raised Joseph up to a position second only in command to Pharaoh. Here we would see God's deliverance again, not only to the Israelites, but to all of Egypt. In fact, all the known world. Because there would be 7 years of plenty. And Joseph had interpreted a dream that Pharaoh could not have interpreted any other way. And Joseph was able to tell him, there will be 7 years of lean, followed by 7 years of famine. And it is up to us to store up for us, ourselves and the world, crops that we might have food in the times of famine. See, God didn't forget his promise. He continued to keep it. But then we think through 400 years later when we see that Abraham's descendants, now Moses, chosen by God as an instrument to lead the children of Israel out of slavery. And what we hear and understand is that during those 400 years, the Israelites were slaves, no longer the chosen ones in the Egyptian households, but they had become slaves and were so numerous in the land of Egypt that Pharaoh declared that all the baby boys should be killed as they were born. I want you to know, my friends, that God plays the long game and is in it till the end. Moses was spared. Does he not say, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age? I want you to know that, my friends, that a lot of times people say they wonder if God's hearing their prayers. They're not getting an answer yet. They're becoming discouraged as they wait for an turn of an event or help in some special way. And they're getting tired of waiting and trusting. I told by one woman who spoke with me at one point in our ministry that she said, I prayed for 40 years that my dad would quit drinking. 40 years. And she said, finally, God answered that prayer. God answered that prayer. And her father, through a turn of an event, was delivered from alcoholism. And was delivered in such a way that he gave glory to God, and yet at the same time, he was so joyous and celebrative of the fact that he was delivered from that demon. And as a result, His family was happy. His wife was happy. And the young lady that had prayed was very, very happy. Yes, God plays the long game. He tells us not to be discouraged, not to give up, because he says, I promise you, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Parents, don't give up praying for your children. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope on that marriage. Don't give up hope on your spouse. Don't give up hope on your God. God plays the long game, and God is with us throughout it all. So it is with us. God wants a relationship with you, and he has chosen you. He has invested in you by saving you and me from hell because of our sins, and has promised us a place in heaven. He has saved you, yes, but he's also sent you to speak of him, to obey him, to trust in him, to believe in him. He wants us to worship him with our every breath and to bear witness unto him to those in our world of all that he's done. Now, when I look closely at the life of Moses and God's involvement in his life, I also reflect on his engagement and empowerment in my life. I see his fingerprints, you might say, all over my world and my life, and I know that God has been and is with me. Moses was saved in his infancy. You remember that story in our reading this week? And at Pharaoh's command, Pharaoh had commanded that all the baby boys would be killed as they were born. Moses' parents did not obey. Moses was placed in a waterproof basket and placed in the waters of the Nile. In infancy, my mother and my father brought me and placed me in the waters of holy baptism. And I too was safe from death and promised life, life everlasting. God made a promise to me that day that he's kept. Was God's representative, Moses was, to lead Israel out of Egypt. And was God's representative, Pharaoh, as he went to tell Pharaoh, let my people go to worship him in the wilderness. You recall from Exodus' account how Pharaoh's heart was hard and would not release the Israelites to let his slaves go. 10 times Moses would go. And he would ask Pharaoh to let my people go. And 10 times God would destroy each of the Egyptian gods. The Pharaoh thought, they have a strange God who certainly is not as powerful as the gods of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world. The fact is that every one of those 10 main Egyptian gods were overpowered by Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. I want you to know that God showed off. He just kind of flexed his muscles. He hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he might simply display his miraculous signs and wonders. You see, Pharaoh thought he was God. And the God of the Bible, the creator of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one and true only God, had to convince Pharaoh that he was not God. And that Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, was the one true God. God showed off through all those miraculous signs and wonders. He also sometimes shows off to us, witnessing to us, like he did with Israel, what he was doing on our behalf. So that we too might tell even our children and grandchildren the things that God has done. I share with you often stories that occur in my life. I want them to bear witness to God and to let you know what God has done in my world and hopefully what he's doing in yours. And it's a purpose for us to help us get through everyday life. I have, and we do, see the certain heartaches that we have had in our life, and the headaches and the hardships. But through it all, I want you to know, even in death, God has been there to uplift and to encourage and to strengthen all of us. Because he loves me, and he loves you, and is in a deep and abiding relationship with each and every one of us. I so want that for each and every one of you. That's how it is with you, that you're in that type of a relationship with God. I want you to know God's in it, for the long game. The thief on the cross, it was in his dying days, his dying moments, that he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. That one young girl who prayed 40 years later, her prayer was answered. The Israelites were in slavery for 400 years in Egypt, but God remembered his promise. Abram was without child with Sarah for nearly a quarter of a century, but God remembered his promise. The promise of that a Savior would come that was promised to Eve did not come for more than 4,000 years, yet God remembered his promise. One of the promises was Passover and how God would deliver the children of Israel whom he had heard their cries and the pleas. God's plan was to redeem and rescue Israel from the slavery of Egypt. And God had told Moses and the children of Israel to sacrifice a lamb and to eat it with unleavened bread. And taking the blood of the lamb, smearing it over the doorpost of the hearth of the door, that the angel of death that would pass through all the land of Egypt that night would pass over their homes because of the blood of the lamb that would be a sign they were believers, that their sins have been forgiven. In a few moments, we're going to celebrate the New Testament's version of Passover. We'll receive unleavened bread and wine. And Jesus says, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood." And as we receive this blood of the Lamb, we have to realize that that is placed over the doorpost of our hearts. And that the angel of death, as it was in the Old Testament, has passed us over. We've been spared of God's wrath and God's judgment because the blood of the Lamb has been there and is telling us, in Jesus' own words, to take, eat, and to take, drink for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you and I can be released from the slavery of sin and to death. As I've said throughout this message, God wants a relationship with you. He really does. I hope you can see how intimately he's involved and invested in our entire lives. He even calls us to pray to him any time of the day or night, asking anything in his name. But there's one more thing that God told Moses. And that was to build an altar wherever I cause my name to be remembered. You know, my friends, I believe that it would be very good for us to give an account and to record those places in our life where God was caused or has caused his name to be remembered. An answer to prayer, his deliverance, his blessing, his grace. And let us take an account of that and to write it down so that we don't forget, so that we understand how God has intersected with his life, with our life, with our world, and with our everyday life. And let us never forget. And also let us tell our children and our grandchildren and the world in which we live. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and giver and author of life itself. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Please join me as we make confession of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. With you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bless your church with your presence, with your power, and with your promises. And through your involvement with us in each of our individual lives, help us to glorify your name, to believe in you, to trust in you, to hope in you, and to walk with you. Help us also as a church to reach out into the world around us and to share this hope, offering forgiveness, your love, your hope, and the promise of life everlasting to all who hear it, receive it, and embrace it. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for those who are workers upon our high rise across the street and those that are working on the hotel across from our parking lot. May you keep them safe. And may the people who will reside and who will live there, may we be in ministry to, for, and with them. And may the light of your love and the light of your work in this congregation bear fruit, plenteous fruit, to reach those who are around us in this community with the good news of the gospel of Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, now hear the prayers of your children requested this day.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. We lift up Cheryl Oakley, who needs prayer for healing. And we just ask that you place your healing touch upon her to enable her to return to good health. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord Jesus, we also pray that you would be with our nation at this time of division and of hurts. And please unite us, bring us back together as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We pray, O Lord, that no matter what decisions are made, that as a nation, we would see your hand of deliverance, your hand of help, and your hand of healing. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And now, O Lord, teach us, remember to keep us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and eat, this is my body, given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup, and after he had supped from it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Receive now the benediction of our Lord and Savior. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
Okay. I have some announcements for you today. We would love to have the congregation's help with providing lunches for our confirmation class and instructors. If you, your family, a group of friends, Bible study group or leadership group or Comfort Dog Ministry, which is sponsoring them today, would like to sign up to provide one of the meals, please sign up online or see your weekly for the details. Love is in the air. Let's celebrate God's love for us and our love for each other on Valentine's Day. Join us on Friday, February 14th, which is Valentine's Day, in Fellowship Hall for a yummy Valentine dinner, which includes salad, apricot glazed turkey breast, roasted potatoes, green beans, and a special dessert prepared by our own chef, Rich Poole. Come at 6 for a social time. Dinner will be served at 6:30. Tickets are $15 each, sold at the church on the weekends, this weekend. This is the last weekend, okay. Bring your spouse, sweetie, friend, or neighbor. Get your tickets before they sell out. Adults only this time. We'll have more events to include kids in the future. Love as I have loved you, taken from John 13:34. February 28th to the 29th of this year, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, Orlando, Florida, Lay Leadership Summit for Region 3. This special event is designed specifically for lay leaders. This free conference is sponsored by the Florida Georgia District and is a place where lay leaders have the opportunity to learn and grow as you serve Jesus in your local congregation. That concludes my portion of the announcements.
Thank you, Doug. Doug number two will now step in. I'm going to bring this I'm really happy about, the love is in the air. On Valentine's Day, I'm going to bring my spouse, my sweetie, and my friend.
And your friend.
And my friend. So I think it still comes up to $30, but those are one and the same. I'd like to let you know that the immersed Bible study groups who are undergoing right now, and Greg is one of our leaders, Connie's another one of our leaders. I'm not sure if I'm overlooking anybody, but if you're looking for a small group to go through with your Bible study readings, I believe if I counted right, there's about 7 of them after we added the Saturday group, which now is meeting on Saturday evenings at 4 p.m., and they're meeting in the Magnolia building. And so that group's bounced around from another place to this one, so I wanted to let you know, 4 o'clock for them in the Magnolia building. And then we have church at 6 o'clock, so if you'd like to take part in that and then come to church, that's also an opportunity. I'm also conducting the Foundations class for those of you who are wanting to bone up on your Christian faith or simply like a refresher. It's a way for us to do that, and to do that in a fun sort of a way. We are also having people that are brand new to us here at Trinity, or people who are wanting to join us at Trinity that are a part of this class. And so we've begun. We'd like to let you know those classes are going on at 4 o'clock. We'll conclude at 5:30. Those classes meet in the fellowship hall. Something that happened this past week, and Norma, would you raise your hand? Just wave it up. Norma is one of the people. Linda, you're here. Also wave your hand. Okay, I just wanted to see if I could get you to do it. And what we're doing is each of us at some point in our lives are touched by death. And we miss a loved one that has been near and dear to us. And it certainly touched our house here recently. And I would like to let you know that grief share is something that we would like to have you be aware of. We're doing that at Trinity. Right now we're being trained in by some wonderful people from St. Luke's Lutheran Church just up the road. And what they're doing is they're spending some time with our leaders that I've pointed out here. Kathy Aber is another one of those leaders. And Mary Lou was there for a part of this training last week. But am I overlooking someone, Norma? And no, me. Yeah, I was there too. And in any case, when we start to look at it, it's a wonderful way for us to think about if we've suffered a loss, it's an opportunity for us to go through some things that are very well done on video and then to be able to talk about it in the group in the immediate time following. That will begin February 13th. It's a Thursday, 1 o'clock, and it will be in the fellowship hall, in the back portion of the fellowship hall. And I'd just like to invite you, if you've suffered a loss, we'd love to have you be part of that and to come and be present with us. We'll help each other get through our loss. And so we hope that you'll be able to join us. I would like to say, some of you would have asked me, what if I can't be there for all 13 weeks? Well, shame on you. No. We would like to say that each one of these units are self-contained, meaning that if you miss one, you can pick it up at a later time. Okay? And it will still make sense if you come to the following one. They all add together to be something very special, and yet at the same time, the information that you're a part of will be very special and meaningful to you. And with that, I conclude my announcements and wish you God's richest blessings this wonderful week ahead. And I don't know if you're praying for the 49ers or the Chiefs, but you should be praying one way or the other. God's good to us here at Trinity, so let's please stand and join together in singing our final hymn.